Welcome to the middle of it all, the still point at the very center of things. Tonight, we'll be going on a journey without moving. That might seem like a paradox, but here, in this place, it's quite possible. All you need to do is to let your mind wander with us through this magical landscape to sleep and to dreams. Each night, we like to begin with a little wind-down exercise. Tonight's exercise is a visualization. So, when you're ready, let's begin. So, just take a moment to get comfortable, letting go of the day. Enjoying that feeling of having stopped, of having nothing left to do. We're just going to focus the attention of the mind on different parts of the body, watching as the muscles in the body switch off for the night, leaving the body feeling rested and leaving the mind more at ease. So, just starting down at the toes and just a sense of the muscles switching off, the feet, the arches, all those muscles switching off. Same in the lower half of the legs. So any tension being let go of as the muscles switch off, shut down. In the upper half of the legs, any tension just melting away, being let go of. Into the area of the hips, the pelvis. Again, any muscles shutting down for the night, completely at rest. Everything from the waist downward is heavy, at ease. The muscles in the lower back and the stomach now switching off. Middle of the back, around the diaphragm, the upper back, and the chest. Any muscles not needed, shutting down, switching off for the night. The shoulders just switching off. The upper half of the arms and the lower half of the arms just switching off. The hands, fingers, just switching off. Any muscles around the throat and the neck, switching off. The head, face, the jaw, the eyes. Any last areas of tension just melting away as the muscles shut down, switch off. At rest for the night. Allowing thoughts to come and go. Just allowing the mind and body the space they need to rest. You are standing in a street where nobody seems to be in a hurry. Just a few passers-by are out strolling. Some are resting on benches. The light in the sky seems soft, very soft. The sun is shining softly, and the wind is blowing so gently that it feels like the wind has given you the gift of a shawl. Feeling the gentle wind blow is like wearing a luxurious open weave shawl. It's like being able to be out in your pajamas, and it's okay. It's the perfect temperature, and you're wearing the perfect clothes. As your neck and shoulders relax, you look down. You are standing in a street made of dove gray stones. The stones are wide and nicely weathered. How many people have stopped here to rest and enjoy the soft light? It's like being among friends. You don't have to do anything. Just be. In the softly sunlit street, where you're enjoying a moment of just being and doing nothing at all, you notice something. You notice there's a beautiful work of art inlaid in the dove gray stones at your feet. It's made of bronze and pale blue paint. It looks familiar. There are several circles, one inside the other. 1, 2, 3, 4 circles. There are points like petals or arrows in the beautiful artwork that's been set into the paving stones. You start counting the petals. 1, 2, 3, 4 cardinal directions. North, south, east, west. Then there are others. 5, 6, 7, 8 ordinal directions. Northeast, southeast, southwest, northwest, the in-between ones. The beautiful work of art inlaid in the street is a compass rose. There's something special about this compass rose. Each of its directions opens on to a different garden, and each one is a different place altogether. Each garden is beautiful in its own way, but each one is different from the last, and the next, and the next. It's an invitation to turn and savor the view. But as you turn, a strange thing happens. The landscape begins to dissolve around you. As you look northeast along the compass rose, the light seems to shift. It is tender and enchanting. The air sweetens faintly. It tingles like springtime, late spring. You are in a vast, flat garden. Sweet-faced, sweet-scented flowers have sprung up. Purple, yellow, and white violas, whose other name is heart's ease. Sweet peas. Fine, unusual grasses. Delicate borders of simple and intricate flowers mark a path for you. Hello, dianthus. Hello, clove carnations. Hello, alpine pinks. You breathe in the fragrance of the sweet air. It's like having a long drink of distilled water. Very faintly fizzy, drawn up in a clean, silver-blue pail from a deep blue-purple well. The path you are on is one of several identical paths in very long lines. They all lead to a wide marble fountain. You notice the wide, pink-veined, white marble fountain shaped like an upturned shell. You tune in to droplets of water, making a luminous haze. The air is warmer. Your limbs relax as you feel the spray. It refreshes your eyelids. You turn to face the east. There are shallow water channels in this vast, flat garden. The water channels run alongside the paths in equally long lines. Lovely. They are tiled with dove-white tiles. You tune in to the water running. There are tiny fish flickering in it. Tiny plops. Tiny bubbles. You trail your hand in the water. Then the other hand. Both your hands are in the cool, clear water. Ah, the day is being washed away. If you wish to sit here a little longer, you can. Whatever you wish. Maybe sit here a little longer by the fountain. The shell-shaped fountain is fed by an ever-flowing water source. There is an ancient reservoir way below the garden. It keeps things cool. The same source that feeds all the other water channels keeps the fountain running. A builder of magical gifts designed this vast, flat garden over 500 years ago. This place you're in was designed as a palace of ease for an emperor. Sweet. 500 years of right royal slumber permeate the atmosphere. So peaceful. And now, you know, anybody can visit. 5 centuries of visitors just kicking back and resting for a while. And now you're here, doing the same. Isn't that something? The light in the sky is yellowy, like white gold. At your feet, a pattern inlaid in the paving stones. The compass rose comes into focus. You are facing southeast. There's a breeze. Not enough of a breeze to stir the edges of your clothes. Just enough to blow some leaves over the compass rose inlaid in the pavement. Bronze and pale blue. The leaves flicker. You turn your head. There's a park with tall trees. They are nicely spaced. Do you know their names? Here is a flame tree. It's got silvery bark and swaying pods. The canopy of the tree is a welcoming umbrella. It's in bloom. Very colorful. The flowers are like phoenix feathers. There are more flame trees with their feathery flowers. Maybe you know them as flamboyants. Maybe you know them as gulmohars. Maybe it's the first time you're leaning against a tree like this, comfortably in the shade of a canopy of scarlet flowers. It's okay. It's better than okay. The park slopes down. You can glimpse a beach. There's the curve of a greeny blue ocean. A A few birds circle and settle. They rise, circle, and settle. The birds look like silhouettes. You can't hear their calls. You glimpse them moving above the waves of the sea in the middle distance. You turn back. You're leaning against the silvery tree trunk. Your eyes are shut. Behind your eyelids, you see white butterflies. A host of white and lemon butterflies is playing between the leaves of a yellow and white lantana hedge. Let's look south. What do we find here? Fresh marine air fills your lungs as you breathe. That's good. Cooled by the sea, the fresh air washes over you. There's a lighthouse. It's in the middle of a town. That's funny. What is it doing here? Oh, this land was reclaimed from the sea. You glide past the lighthouse through a market. You're moving like a dreamer with a special destination. Through a market, with the sound turned down. There are wooden stalls with heaps of produce. Deft hands untie purplish white garlic from strings. Sellers rearrange bunches of herbs and aromatics. Chervil, thyme, lavender, and mint. You arrive at the border of a savanna. The savanna is bordered with a single line of trees, each one different from the last. You glide along the savanna's border of trees. There's an African tulip tree. There's a silk cotton tree. There's a baobab with its huge trunk. The baobab tree is too big to be huggable. How huge, yet how quiet. It's very endearing. Groups of people are dotted here and there. Some are playing games in the middle of the savanna. One or two are flying homemade kites. White clad, leisurely figures seem to be playing cricket. They're not taking it too seriously. vendors along the savannah offer refreshments. Shaved ice flavored with fruit syrup. Roast corn on the cob. A coconut vendor offers you a green coconut. You can drink the juice if you like. And then they'll have the nut so that you can scoop out the jelly. What about the Southwest? A street which feels familiar. The sun has dipped. Salmon clouds cast violet shadows. A great feeling of serenity emanates from the stones of this place. The houses are made of stone and mortar, good and solid. Individual flints are set into a mortar. You walk through an archway into a walled garden. This piece of flint set into the garden wall has been napped. K-N-A-P-P-E-D. Napped flint. The word sounds like the flint that is drowsing. Black and shiny. Nice. To touch. Who knew flint could be strokeable? This piece of flint set into the garden wall shows percussion marks. They look like sound waves in the shiny black stone. Undulations. The undulations set in stone record the impact through the flint when it was worked. Someone thoughtful was here before you, building this garden wall. There's a rose bush, newly springing in this walled garden. It soaks up the warmth emanating from the hand-worked flints. The sprouts look crimson. There is a lot of earth visible in these flower beds. Soft dark loam. Things are growing. Furled ferns. Juicy spikes that will unfold as lilies. Young leaves crinkled like the corners of eyelids. The sun is westering slowly, casting a glow over everything. We turn to the west and head through a wrought iron gate. It had a banner on it. What did the banner say? Cactus event. Huh. What's less eventful than a cactus? Makes you smile. a series of glass houses, is home to a jungle of plants. Some of the glass looks old, maybe Victorian. The main glass dome is made of several glass panels cleverly put together. The joins of the panels look like a web, or like the ribs of a banana leaf. Maybe there'll be banana trees inside the glass houses. A self-opening glass door swings open noiselessly. You find yourself in a circular glass room. A homely trestle table features a display of potted cacti. The pots are small enough to cup in your hand. Some of the cacti look fuzzy or furry. Some have starbursts of flowers. Some hold up two arms, like a cactus in a cartoon. In waist-level beds, stretching up, 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 and curling over, there is an abundance of small, bright flowers. Dark green, shiny foliage. There are vanilla pod and plantain plants, cinnamon bark, and orchids, succulents in almost underwater shades of bluey green and silvery lilac. You see handwritten labels in curly writing. Not many. They are half hidden by the wealth of green leaves, oval leaves, or shield-shaped ones, and leaves like ribbons. There are two self-opening exits in this area of the glass house. If you want to go back the way you came, through the glass doors. Two other exits lead to indoor garden rooms. The ceilings are high. You look down and see pale pink petals flecking the stones at your feet. The compass rose inlaid in the pavement. Your attention travels round. The petals fall. Your attention wanders from point to point of the compass rose, from petal to pink petal, NW, northwest. Grass appears and multiplies. Pink petals drift and scatter over the grass. It's cherry blossom season in this corner of the world. Single people, families, and friends, full of delight, are picnicking elsewhere in the cherry orchard. Two people, one with long hair and one with short, are sitting in the grass rifling through sheets of paper. It looks like they're reading poetry. The paper lifts in the breeze. They laugh and forget to read, trying to catch the paper, trying to catch the falling cherry blossom. Well, everyone's a way off. Pick your spot. This avenue is undisturbed. What's further along? Easy enough to find out. Soon, you are at the Monocot border. Seedlings with one seed leaf, onions, orchids, bushes with broad purple leaves, banana trees, something like a palm with a hairy trunk and zigzag crown. All kinds of grasses, useful and ornamental, rustle and shimmer. The curve of the bed leads you in and out, around and along this collection, the Monocot family of plants. All so different, all related. Starting out from seedlings with one seed leaf. You look up. However far you look, the horizon is further. You look up and out. The muscles in your face relax. The muscles in your eyes relax. Looking up and out, with nothing to stop the view except one mountain. And that's so far away. Isn't it something? This is the north point of the compass. A lava field surrounds you. The volcanic plain looks barren at first. You feel drawn to walk toward the faraway mountain. It is a cooled volcano, safe now. The mountain's flanks are blue and brown and purple. Its crest gleams soft lilac and frosty white. You see an arrangement of pebbles in the lava field. Cairns of pebbles mark the way for you to go. You feel safe. There is something so hopeful about the signs left by the travelers in this volcanic plain. The travelers in the lava field have made gardens. What grows in a volcanic plain? Very delicate, very strong things. Mosses, and what look like daisies thrive in this far north landscape. The light is a mix of silk and wool. Nothing looks too far away. Everything you see has texture, an agreeable texture. Looking feels like touching. It's so soothing. The ground looks lunar, cratered and impossible. But there are these minute gardens, thriving in between patterns of pebbles, safe and hopeful. It's as if you're walking on the moon.